Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Good morning, Tess. Happy to be here.
Now, the report revealed that hundreds of garment workers in Bangladesh and Vietnam are underpaid, overworked. The one statistic that really sticks in my mind, 100% of garment workers in Bangladesh are earning below the living wage. How did we get here? How are these big brands getting away with this?
It's really shocking to know just how many people in Bangladesh and also in Vietnam are not being paid a living wage. And it has been going on for some time. It's the way that the brands source their clothes. They know they can get cheap labour in these sorts of countries. And so that's how they meet the demands of fast fashion, to quickly get supplies from particular factories to bring them to the shops here in Australia. And what's really devastating about this is just how many people are just not able to make ends meet. They just don't have enough to eat and to feed their families.
And so in regards to the entire report as well, was this fairly expected or were there any really unexpected findings in the report?
Unfortunately, the results were expected, but what this research Made in Poverty does, which no research has done before here in Australia, is to look at every element of what makes up a living wage. And a living wage is what the women who make our clothes should be paid. Now, a living wage is not the minimum wage, it's more than the minimum wage, and it's enough for people who make our clothes to live on. A living wage includes things like food, utilities, housing, healthcare, education, clothing, transportation, and has a little bit left over for savings. And what this research does is look at every element that makes up a living wage to see how the women that make our clothes are faring. And we found that on every element, on housing, for example, they don't have enough money to pay for adequate housing. And what's particularly stark is around utilities, so being able to have access to safe drinking water. In particular, in Vietnam, a lot of the women we spoke to, around 44%, worry that the water they have access to is not safe for drinking. And in Bangladesh, because the living conditions are just so cramped and crowded, many, many people share just one tap, for example, to feed, to drink and to wash clothes and prepare food for entire compounds living in the slums of Dhaka in Bangladesh.
And so there were some companies, we're talking Wish and Roger David, that did refuse to be transparent about the conditions facing their employees and, you know, what you just described there, it's awful stuff. Mm. How do we know that they, I guess, aren't sufficiently investing into the welfare of their workers?
What Oxfam have been doing is tracking the progress of major brands. And so on the What She Makes website, which is whatshemakes.org, we're tracking about 16 or 17 of the major Australian clothing brands. And we're looking at things like transparency, which is where they source their clothes from, in the factories that they source from, and whether the brands have published the names and locations of these factories to allow for independent audits to check that they're doing okay on safety and stuff like that. And we're also tracking brands on their commitment to a living wage, and then when they implement the living wage in a few years down the track. And what's actually surprising is some of the brands that are much further along their journey to a living wage than others. If you check out the company tracker on the whatshemakes.org website, you'll see there are some unexpected brands that are actually doing quite well in their commitment to a living wage. Brands like Kmart and Cotton On and City Chic also have done much better than other brands in heading in the right direction towards a living wage.
And so as consumers, you know, it is really easy to pop down to one of these stores and get one of the $4 T-shirts. And, you know, for a lot of people, I know it was certainly something I did as a broke uni student, although I am realising now it is the height of privilege to refer to myself as a broke uni student at any point while we're having this discussion. But as customers, it is, you know, so easy to go down and grab these cheap clothes. But what should we be doing to support more ethical supply chains?
Well, we actually really encourage people to keep shopping. And the reason for this is because if people were to boycott or to not keep going to these stores, the people that would lose out are the women that make our clothes. So the garment workers living in Bangladesh and Vietnam and other countries where we source our clothes. And so we actually encourage people to be really mindful about where they're choosing to shop, but to keep shopping so the women don't lose their jobs, so the brands don't withdraw from getting clothes from those factories. But what we ask of people who buy clothes is that know that your voice is powerful and know that you can contact the brands to demand that they do better. You can contact the brands through Oxfam's WhatSheMakes.org company tracker and let them know that you want them to pay a living wage, that you care about what she makes and the clothes that she's making and the conditions that she's living in, and you want them to commit to paying a living wage. And earlier research that we did found that it would cost just 1% extra of the retail price for these big brands to pay a living wage. So that means just 20 cents out of the price of a $10 t-shirt goes to the women that make our clothes, and it would just be an increase of 10 cents to ensure that a living wage is paid. And of course, we don't think that people that buy clothes, consumers, should cover this cost. It should be absorbed in the brand's supply chain. So we encourage people to contact the brands and demand that they pay a living wage.
We'll get all the links up on the podcast. Sarah, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Very happy to. Thanks for having me.